Welcome to the Impactful Innovators podcast series. This series is produced from the fall 2020 class at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and sponsored by the National Science Foundation and the Severino Center for Technological Entrepreneurship at RPI. This series highlights the stories of entrepreneurs and innovators as they go through the challenging process of changing the world. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the Severino Center for Technological Entrepreneurship on YouTube or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. We hope that this series will help inspire the next generation of innovators, entrepreneurs, and intrapreneurs at Rensselaer and beyond. Today's episode will feature Timothy O. He attended Rensselaer for several semesters while he developed and honed his product idea for improving gun safety in homes. He grew up in a family of gun owners and was passionate about preventing deaths from accidental gun discharge.
Hi, my name is Timmy O, and I started in RPI in 2013 as a mechanical engineering and design major. I'm originally from the LA area, down about an hour in a city called Anaheim. And this is my first venture, and I started it while a freshman in college at the age of 17. So what kicked off everything off was the Change the World Challenge at RPI, where you could just submit an idea and win a cash prize if selected. I submitted 10 ideas. The judges felt bad for me, and I was selected as one of the 10 winners that semester. The idea that the judges selected was a gun safety device. The image on the right is the actual concept I submitted back then. And this concept targeted a market of over 393 million firearms in the U.S. The problem I had wanted to solve was the injuries and casualties caused by unauthorized firearm access. The crazy thing is right now, 50% of firearms are left loaded and unsecured. And in a nation where one of three households has a gun, this was a significant market where a solution could make an important impact. So shortly after, Kelly and Jason encouraged me to grow the idea and go get market feedback. And they introduced me to a free online article called Talking to Humans, which made a huge difference in how I conducted my market research. So the truth was that initial concept that won the competition was a complete failure. And I learned that the hard way when I tried to get feedback on AR15.com, which is one of the largest online gun forums. The post I put up there went viral, but in a very bad way where I got completely shredded by the community. And it was a good learning point though, because that's when I had to pivot and start over. So that summer, I went and did research at the Los Angeles Police Department Firearm and Tactics Division, where I learned about the true pain points in gun safety and storage. Specifically, what I discovered was that the traditional gun safety devices, or safes, make immediate access and security mutually exclusive by restricting access and their outdated technology. So in short, gun owners don't believe that they can access a locked firearm reliably or in time to defend themselves or their family. In 2016, I won the $100,000 New York State Business Plan competition, which gave me enough funding to pursue this full time. But what was even more important at that event was that was the beginning of the team. So Christine Tate was one of the judges in the competition as an East Coast angel investor who's highly involved in the upstate community. And she joined VARA that year as a co-founder who brought a huge amount of experience in executive management, operations, and financials. And that year, I went back home to California to start Prototype. And with a hardware startup, there's one saying that you hear pretty often, and that's hardware is hard. That's mainly because the process isn't exactly as simple as a software where it's that cycle of build, launch, and learn. However, there is a process that can be used successfully, and it's explained more in depth on Bolt.io's blog called the Illustrated Guide to Product Development, and that's something that I followed pretty closely. Essentially, it breaks down the process into four main components: ideation, design, engineering, and validation. One mistake I made back then was that I did waste a lot of money hiring electrical engineering firms in the beginning. And in hindsight, adding capable engineers to the team early on would have been a much smarter play that would have saved money and built more value. In 2018, we raised our seed round that enabled us the resources to add on more hires and grow the team. This funding was used to finalize product development, start manufacturing, and launch the product. By this time, the final design of the product had taken shape, which was Reach, a biometric handgun lock that unlocks only for authorized users as they naturally grab the firearm. Austin, shown here on the left, is our exceptional CTO, and he brought his experience in product development and manufacturing to make this really happen. In 2019, we launched our product through a pre-order campaign, and we ramped that over a course of a month and sold about 400 units on launch. Our first manufacturing batch was 500 units, so overall it was pretty great results. But I remember at the time I was super upset because we didn't sell like thousands of units on the first day. But in hindsight, that's okay because it gave us time to figure out production and shipping. So to give you a quick timeline, we closed the pre-orders in June, promised delivery by August, was late about a month, and delivered in mid-September. But 4 to 5 months from pre-order to shipping on the first product is an insanely amazing accomplishment, and that's all due to our incredible team. So now we're continuing to grow the company as fast as we can. We're just at the beginning of this, so it's pretty exciting to share our current progress. Rara Safety is now a 10-member team, 7 full-time employees and 3 part-time, and we're actually based here in Troy, New York. In the last year and a half since launch, we've sold over 3,000 units and made over $1 million in revenue, while also launching a second generation of our product. We're currently raising a $3 million Series A round led by an established impact investor in LA. With this funding, we'll be able to drive significant growth by adding on high volume distribution channels in retail and government, as well as launching additional products. It's still very early in our growth stage, so there's a lot to look forward to.
So you had to make this really tough call at some point of saying, hey, do I want to pursue my degree at RPI, or do I want to pursue this entrepreneurial dream? Could you take us through what making that decision was like?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most hardest decisions I've ever made, since I never started this intending to be an entrepreneur or to have my own business. So at the time, I had a really, really great internship that I had like worked super hard to get into that was paying very well. And then at the time, there was a competition that required me to fly out, and I had to prepare for that. So at that point, I had to decide, am I going to continue my education, continue this internship, or fully commit? And around that time, I was stressed out with trying to deal with both stuff. So I just pulled the trigger, no pun intended, and went fully on board with Vara.
When you look at these different parts of the business, so you've got a hardware part, you've got a software part, what has been the most challenging thing to crack, or is it really getting the system together? What has been really the hard part, or has it been challenges that are more related to business issues of distribution, manufacturing, things like that?
I would say it's definitely a matter of everything. So, for example, on the mechanical side, for example, when we had to make the molds and all that type of stuff, if there was an issue, we essentially had to scrap the initial mold, which is always pretty scary because you have like thousands of dollars invested into that. So you're basically saying goodbye to that portion. We had to make sure in our initial beta testing, we found a couple software bugs, which was extremely scary because of the sensitivity of our market to this in relation to firearms. But we make sure that was thoroughly tested. We found out the solutions to that. So honestly, it's a lot of like little fires everywhere, but being able to tackle them effectively one at a time, same thing for the business end as well.
What do you see the next 10 years of building this company looking like? Is this something where you're hoping it comes to a quick partnership with a larger company? Do you see that it's something that you're likely to try to grow individually as a company and build out distribution and so forth?
So I think that's a really great question, because we are at this point now where it's pretty much a big shift. That initial goal we had back in 2016 was to launch a product that would make safety a lot better and more effective. And for the most part, we've accomplished that in regards to launching a successful product. But now with the development and the team, we've realized there's a much bigger opportunity in this market to make an effective change in kind of how the whole ecosystem of gun safety works. So that's kind of what we're trying to do. We've brought on some pretty incredible mentors who helped us think bigger. That's part of the reason why we're looking to raise additional funding so that we can really pursue a high level of growth. And then along the way, we have kept potential acquisition partners pretty close at hand. So for like gun companies, gun safe companies. So once we reach like a critical point, we can easily interact with them to see if there's an exit opportunity together.
So you're from California. You decided to stick around upstate New York. You know, this is where some of the team that you got formed with, but is that the primary reason, or is there other things that you've seen in this region that have been helpful for you?
The region is where I think I had the most support in regards to a ecosystem where a company like mine fit in. It might have been a different story if I was like a software developing some type of application. But in regards to a hardware-oriented company, the East Coast is actually pretty significantly growing. You have other companies such as Density.io up near Syracuse. So they're like a huge multi-million-dollar backed VC company that does like hardware software business, but they actually moved their manufacturing up here. So that kind of goes to show how this area is very viable.
Actually, we have one last question. If you were a freshman here at RPI today, just go back to the Timmy of not too long ago. What do you think would be motivating you? Is it the same problem? Is there anything in the current environment that you think would catch your eye?
I think one thing that would be was apply to a lot more competitions than I did. I did apply to like a significant amount, but I think at that early stage, the more traction you could prove through these competitions, because they'll open up new avenues of networks, would have been pretty incredible. At a certain point, I started to not focus on competitions, and I think if I had held on a little bit longer, that would have kind of propelled me at a much faster rate.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Impactful Innovators podcast series. Be sure to continue listening as we explore more of the stories of entrepreneurs and innovators as they go through the challenging process of changing the world. Thank you again to the National Science Foundation and the Severino Center for Technological Entrepreneurship for making this podcast possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the Severino Center for Technological Entrepreneurship on YouTube, share it with a friend, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. We hope that this series will help inspire the next generation of innovators, entrepreneurs at Rensselaer and beyond.